You're listening to Dude Podcast with JC and Will. Put some pep in that step. Enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. I'm JC.
And I'm Will.
I'm Jay, and you're listening to Dude.
Yeah, another guest, first guest of 2025.
Is the first guest of 2025, and I cannot believe I'm in a skag sandwich, between middle bro. Well, I guess you're the oldest bro. There's only two brothers in the Skaggs family that I know and love, and I'm sandwiched between older bro and younger bro. So I'm just the. I'm the bologna, Jay asked me beforehand, he was like, what deli meat would you want to be if you could be any deli meat?
Well, hold on. First off, hello, duties. It's great to make my duty appearance.
Hey, this is, you could technically call him a blood duty, which now that I'm thinking about, sounds pretty bad. It sounds like something you need to see a gastroenterologist about. Yeah, I mean, in theory, he's a blood duty. He's my little brother.
Yep.
We all know who the mature one is because, yeah, I ooze it.
That's why I'm on here.
But this is my little brother, Jay, and welcome.
Welcome to Dude Podcast.
JC, I feel like you got bacon vibes. I'm thinking about the sandwich.
So if we're talking like what meat you would want to be if you could be any meat, I can tell you the meat that I want to be, but it's not the meat that I am. Does that make sense?
No, like, it doesn't.
Oh, so follow me here. Like, I would love to be a power forward in the NBA, but I'm just not. Like, I can't, I'm not built that way. You know what I'm saying? So, like, right. I think I'll tell you the meat I want to be, but then I'll tell you the meat I am.
I think I know what meat you are,
by the way.
I really want, I was thinking all day today, like, what are JC's meat aspirations?
The meat that I wish I was Spanish ham.
Hey. Spanish ham? You think that's the power forward of deli meat?
That's like a small forward.
Oh my God.
When I think of a Spanish ham, I think of just like beautiful, like I'm talking like Burl Cream, slick back hair.
Oh my God.
He's wearing a suit. He's got a beautiful woman around his arm. And
I got a beautiful accent too. I have like a beautiful Spanish. I'm like, hola, ¿qué tal? Buenos días. Like I have that beautiful Spanish lisp and I'm well dressed. But again, I would love to be Spanish jamón, but I'm not. I think more realistically, yeah, maybe I am bacon, or maybe I'm. I would love to be.
You'd be like Gyro or something like that.
Oh,
like,
I'd love to be Gyro. I would love to be Gyro
because you're Greek and all that good stuff.
Yeah, make me a Gyro. I can do that. And then, like, I'm delicious. I'm tasty. I can be on a kebab. I can be in a nice pita.
Exactly.
What kind of meat would you be, Jay? What kind of dream meat would you be?
By the way, I got to say, hey, no, we don't judge on the Dude Podcast, but the Spanish hams kind of sounds a little zesty, if we're being honest.
It is zesty. Well, I mean, I'm a zesty man.
I've never had a Spanish ham, but...
Oh, it's the best. It's like prosciutto. It's basically prosciutto. It's just the Spanish version of prosciutto.
I see. Okay.
They would probably be like, it's not prosciutto, but it's prosciutto. It's the same thing.
Okay. So I think sandwich meat, you know, I feel like I aspire to be like a really bougie cured Italian meat, like maybe like a spicy sausage with some fancy cheese.
Ooh.
Like put me on like with the Gruyere.
You're hanging like up before you get cut up.
Really, really long link.
Ooh, I like that. Mm.
I think if we're being real, I feel like I've got like a slightly dried out turkey vibe.
Oh, I don't think you're dried out. I think you're at least like a honey turkey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would think you're like at least Boar's Head brand turkey, like a nice upper echelon, you know, sliced turkey. What about you, Will?
I think the whole internet, all of the duties are going to collectively boo when I give my answer, but in this household...
Oh, no.
In this household, every member of my family is obsessed with turkey bacon. And I love a good turkey bacon BLT.
Okay.
I genuinely love turkey bacon. And I know that's not cool to say.
I could go the rest of my life without turkey bacon. I'm pretty sure I had it every day for like 6 years in the morning.
I love turkey bacon. Oh, I love it. But it depends on what kind.
These brothers, they're so different. One likes turkey bacon and one hates it. What a crazy show.
But here's the thing. We're both turkeys, just cut from a different part of the body.
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah, we've been saying that for years.
So a couple of things I want to say right off the bat as being, I may be conducting some of this interview just because I'm the non-blood family member here. And
you're a non-blood duty.
No. So what's the age gap again? 7 years, 6 years between you two?
Yeah. 8 years. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was about eight and a half when you were born.
You were born what? Like 87?
Yeah. 87.
I was born in
96. You're 95. No, 96. Okay, wow. 96.
But January of 96.
Yeah.
Are you Gen Z then?
I am the age where, depending on what like source you look at, it'll say one or the other. 96 is the, I think technically I'm a millennial, but barely.
You know, it's funny honest, you say that. Our older sister is on the other, barely a millennial on the other end. She's 11 years older than you. But continue, sorry.
But I feel, some things like musically or whatever, because I grew up with Will and older siblings, I can relate to millennial things, but I think humor-wise, like even just like lingo or whatever, I feel like I'm probably more in the Gen Z category.
That's so your sister is almost, or she is Gen X. She's that's crazy. She's on the border of Gen X.
Yeah.
She's 85.
Yeah, we all kind of, I mean, I feel like I definitely grew up in like a different, just like much different time of the world. Cause like iPhones became a thing when I was, I think like 13. So I think my formative years were way different.
I think it's interesting too, like I was the oldest brother. So like I never had the experience of like the other siblings like leaving the house. And that it was just like you. So that also has to be a very unique thing that you went through that, you know, Will, you didn't necessarily, I mean, you kind of did when Em left, but.
Well, yeah, it was Jay and I for a good while.
Yeah. But that's going to be so different, Jay, when like all the attention then is like on you.
Yeah. It was interesting because Will's right. It was, we had a period where it was Will and I, and then there was like, I think Will went to OSU when I was like 11 or 12, 12
yeah.
probably.
Yeah.
So pretty much most of middle school and then all of high school, you know, I kind of operated sort of like an only child, but obviously not. And like, I feel like a lot of things changed culturally in that time. So yeah, it was interesting, but I mean, I was a pill when I was a teen. So I feel like, maybe it was best that Will and Emily didn't have to be around for that.
You know what? This is what happened. If I'm going to take a step back and look at the family here, right? And make a just an observation as a side judge here. You had your parents should have just stopped at Emily, right? Because listen, it was the best. They had the best there. It was this brilliant
so
girl.
True. Cream of the crop.
Cream of the crop. She could have gone anywhere. She could have gotten into Stanford or something. Like, brilliant.
I mean, she was like bilingual just on her own accord by like, you know, early high school. I mean, it's crazy. Like, that valedictorian,
president of everything, homecoming queen, like, true. Super easy, like, to manage. And then, God bless them, they had Will. And they were probably like, what is this? What do I do with this?
You know, yeah, I feel like, yeah, my parents just looked at me and said, it is what it is, you know? Like, Jay, now hold on. Now, I want to say about Jay. Jay is a mix of the two because he also in high school when he started applying himself, made really good grades. He was also the president of his fraternity. Like, he could be up there, but he also has a little bit of...
Got a little edge. You know, he's edgy. Little edge.
Yeah. Here's the thing, like, Will Skaggs, he didn't have much potential. It is what it is.
We always say you were really fast, though. You were really fast in your prime.
I got that going for me.
Yeah, you were fast, man.
And you know what's weird now that I'm thinking about it? You didn't really have... You and Mom and Dad, at one point, were just doing summer vacations, just three of you. Growing up, we did all the vacations. And then at one point, like, we're gone.
I'll be honest. I think we only went on one that I can think of that was, like, really explicitly, like, a vacation between the three of us. I was 15, and we went to a lake in Texas, Lyndon B. Johnson Lake. And I remember I got, like, severely burnt on my feet, where my feet had bubbles on them, and I could barely walk. I just baked in the sun as a 15-year-old. I was like, I don't need sunscreen, which, by the way, I still am bad at that.
Maybe that's why you're a dry turkey.
True. Exactly. Just give me some seasoning. I don't remember what I ate, but I remember I was like, my bowels were fighting for their life in the car, and I was churning out some of the most, like, vile farts you've ever smelled in your life. Like, I was basically shitting myself for like 8 hours in the car. And I remember, like,
memories.
I just remember it was really funny at first. And Mom was like, Mom and Dad were dying laughing. But then they got to the point where, like, I couldn't stop. And I could tell Mom and Dad were both like, this is too much. Like, we need to pull over.
What gave it away, Jay, when your mom was vomiting out of the side of the car?
Speaking of that, hey, we can cut this if you don't like this story, but it's one of my favorite stories of Dad ever. So Dad and I were in St. Louis, right? And we're there to watch a Cardinals game. I think we may have been touring colleges as well. But I was a senior in high school, and we go to eat somewhere near the stadium, and we're hanging out. It's early in the morning. It was a day game. So we're eating, and Mom calls Dad, freaking out, right? It was just you. Emily, I think, was out somewhere doing something. It was just you and Mom. She's freaking out. And she goes, Bob, Jay put too much toilet paper in the toilet, and the toilet is clogging. And he's like, well, just, like, plunge it out. And she's like, ah, she's freaking out, right? And she starts plunging using the plunger and trying to fix the toilet. All of a sudden, it just starts going. And she's like, Bobby, it's all coming out. It's coming out, Bobby. And he's like, what do you want me to do? And she can hear her going, Bobby. When I say my dad, I think we're in Panera Bread. My dad was crying laughing. He could not hold himself together. His wife is on the other side of him going, Bobby, make it stop. To this day, it's one of the funniest things I've ever experienced with my dad.
Can I have a question real quick about that. Was it the toilet that was downstairs near the kitchen?
No, Jay, you want to tell everyone about the toilet that we had?
The toilet downstairs, describe the toilet in the first floor.
Yeah, you remember our old, like, Victorian toilet that came with the house.
I remember this toilet. This toilet made a big impact on my life.
You know what? It was, I remember it didn't flush very well, but we'll probably have to cut this out, but I remember when I was, like, before I was potty trained, I think I had to poop in that toilet or something, and Mom would come, like, wipe for me, I think. It was tiny. And one time you were watching me, and you, not watching me for...
Are you sitting there just nodding and giving, like, approving? Yes.
Brother approved.
Close-knit. No, I remember I was, like, you know, like, can you help me wipe? And Will's like a teenage boy. Will's like, no. And I was like, I don't know how to. I had to have been like two. And Will came in when Will came in with salad tongs. And put a paper on the end of the salad tongs. Going like just trying to like get it out. And I think I'll never forget that. Apparently that's like all of our family stories.
Listen, that's how tight these blood duties are.
No, so I will say this real quick. So here's why I remember that toilet. So I'm gonna
describe the toilet for us.
So
Chasey.
Here's what it was. The cool thing about this toilet, it was on the first floor, and it had a where you go into the toilet, the top of the toilet. Well, it was like wooden, but then on top of it, it had a chain. It was like a chain that you would pull. To flush the toilet, right? It wasn't a traditional flusher. You would pull this thing as you'd sit. And what I recall was not that it was a weak toilet, but in fact, it was a very, very strong toilet, and it kind of intimidated me. Like, you know, when you got it going, it felt like that was something where, you know, there's all these issues where you live in the West about the Colorado River and like draining of the river, like that toilet single-handedly like drained like large amounts of water. The amount of water used on this toilet, but it would suck a grown man's arm down. It was very impressive. And I always wanted to use that toilet because I always felt like, man, I don't think I can clog this bad boy. So that's where I was thinking, if your mom managed to, if that was the toilet she was battling with, God bless her, whatever she went down there. Because it was impressive.
I imagine, like, back in the day, like, old kings, like, when they're in their bed and they're ready for breakfast, they just pull on this, like, rope that's above them, and it's like, I'm ready for my breakfast. That's how this toilet was. It was made of almost all wood, except for the, like, actual bowl itself. Everything else was made of wood.
It was a beautiful toilet.
I'm kind of upset that my parents got rid of it.
I'll be honest, in this whole conversation, I was like, did I grow up in that house? Because I don't remember that toilet.
No, it was, I remember it. And I think it was like going into like high school, they had gotten rid of it. Cause I was devastated. I was really upset with your mother.
Our parents' house has like a lot of really bizarre, but in ways I like architectural things, like the floor in the kitchen's all brick, which is really interesting.
You don't think about that until you realize like not a lot of homes have that. Like, it's not just the floor that's all brick, but like where the stove is, it's kind of cool, like little arch.
Yeah, it's cool.
This is a good segue, okay? Because today my wife was over at our parents' house and she was talking to my mom. And for whatever reason, my mom was telling the story that my wife just absolutely loved, okay? And Jay, I'm going to set it up and you bring it home, okay?
Yeah.
So apparently in I think you were probably in middle school, my mom was asked by a friend if she wanted to go to self-defense classes, right? And my mom was like, you know what? Yeah, sure. Like, I could, you know, it doesn't hurt to know self-defense. And somehow you caught wind of it. Like, she was on her way to self-defense class, right? And you said, Mom, like, why are you doing that? You are never going to defend yourself ever. And I think our mom was, like, maybe a little offended. Like, that's not true. Like, if I have to fight, I will. And you were like, Mom, you're not going to fight an attacker. You're going to run and scream. And she's like, that's not true. Like, she was, like, kind of offended by it.
You know how she, like, if an intruder comes in, I'll beat the crud out of them.
Yeah. So Jay, tell him what happens after this.
So I think she was coming home from her, I forgot about this one. She was coming home from, I think, her last
class. The class, yeah.
It was like, yeah. And
she was coming home from the self-defense class.
Coming home from the class, you would think like it's the first thing on her mind right now. And I knew that. And I'm like an honorary middle schooler. And I loved like scaring her in the house. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. We'll see if she ends up using one of her techniques on me since I've been talking smack all week. And the moment she walks in the door, I'm just around the corner. And I think she like had some stuff in her hands too and walks in. And I just immediately go, how was self-defense class? And she walks in and lets out like the highest shriek ever, drops everything. It's like
she and my mom said that she ran up the stairs.
Let's out like the biggest shriek.
Is that what you learned in self-defense?
That's awesome. I love it. So real quick to also just set the scene here. We have three different time zones going. We got me on the East Coast, we got Will in Central Time, and we got Jay on the West Coast in are you in Portland or outside of Portland, or where are you?
I'm in Portland. Yeah.
You're like almost downtown, right?
I am downtown. I live downtown.
I always think it's interesting. Jay went to Oklahoma State. He was, again, to your point, president of fraternity, and graduates, and you do like the general business, and then you end up how do you end up on the West Coast? And I also I want to say this, and I want to say this with all due respect, you kind of, your style transformation kind of went from like all American boy to like more like Timothy Chalamet, which I love Timothy Chalamet. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about it. And you could, again, people, duties could point out, I got all kinds of tattoos and all, I'm the same. You know, you could give me a hard time all day too. But like, how did you get out there? How did you become Portlandified? Like, what was your journey out there? And cause I just think it's interesting. It's so different than Tulsa, how we grew up.
Yeah. Yeah, Timothy Chalamet is crazy. I'm going to keep that as a soundbite, just when I need confidence.
You know, it is funny, though, because he just hosted SNL, and your look right now kind of like, I can see it, actually. I can kind of see it.
I was thinking that. He's got the Timothy Chalamet vibes, man. I love it. I think it's great.
I'm going to talk to my friends after this, and they're going to be like, how was your night? I'm like, oh, it was good. I went on my brother's podcast and talked about my IBS. They called me a twink.
Or my twinkie brother.
So I moved. I've been here, actually, next week will be 5 years.
Wow. So you're in it, dude.
For a minute now. Yeah. Yeah, I graduated from OSU in 2018. And I liked OSU. I had a good experience there for sure. I definitely would never like poo-poo it or like talk badly about it. But I think I really only went there just because that was like, I don't know, it's just like what everyone did. And so, and I mean, you know, I feel like where we went, not a ton of people went far away. There was the exception of like one or two or three people per grade.
Kids from Texas. I think it was like you had like mostly Oklahoma kids. You had a decent chunk. I'd say like it was maybe 20% of the student body was probably Texas and, you know, Kansas. But like it was all surrounding. To your point, it was like Oklahoma or like surrounding states. It wasn't like you had a bunch of kids from Maine or like New York or the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. You know?
Well, it's like also I feel like growing up in Tulsa. You know, just, I don't know, just for whatever reason, a lot of people don't like leave to go to their schools. I think it's like a very regional, like everyone kind of regionally stays in school. Like I have friends here who, I don't know if it's just because they grew up in Portland or what, but maybe it's because they grew up getting some tourism. I've found a lot of them do go to Oregon State, but a lot of people that did go to school went to like the East Coast, or they went, you know, to Middle America, to, you know, Chicago or whatever. I don't know why that is, but I feel like a lot of people went to OSU and OU. And so I went to OSU and I had a good experience, did the whole fraternity thing, got really involved, and it was great. But I think by the time my senior year rolled around, you know, I think just I had kind of like my frontal lobe was probably developing or something. I just was like, I think this isn't for me. I think just towards the end of my senior year, I had been really involved. I definitely had a very like kind of burnout-esque college experience. Like I just did a lot. And so I think by the time I graduated, I was like, everything changed. Like the way I just kind of like the thinking changed. I kind of just started hanging out with like a different crowd the moment I like graduated in Tulsa. I like moved to Tulsa right after school, started like hanging out with different people outside of
Did you have like a general business degree? What did you end up graduating with?
I studied
with?
Finance. And then OSU, my senior year, offered this like energy program through the business school. It's like energy, like economics. So I studied that and then graduated, got a job in finance and did that for a year. Lived with a family friend of both of us, Daniel Briggs, for a year. And I think I like that year in Tulsa, I liked living in Tulsa. I still love Tulsa. But I just could feel I like wanted to get out and go somewhere else. And I
had the same itch when I was your age, by the way. I mean, it's just,
yeah, totally. And I knew I wanted to go somewhere that I could like sell my car or truck. I just wanted to go somewhere that was like very urban, had a lot to offer. I just wanted to see more. And at the time, I had been dating someone who had just moved to Portland after they graduated school. So I had kind of been traveling around the US like with money I'd saved up and was like visiting friends who had moved to like the East Coast. And I was like, had like a couple of cities in mind, visited Portland. I fell in love with it. At the time, it was definitely one of the cheaper options of like all the cities I feel like I was like kind of interested in maybe moving to. And I was like, I could sell, you know, my truck. I could kind of live a more, whatever, urban lifestyle. So yeah, I just landed on Portland, fell in love with it. I still love it. I would still love to live other places if the opportunity affords me. But I love it. It's great. Portland's a great town.
It was brought more to the front of society with Portlandia, right? I think that show kind of helped expose, hey, here's this weird area in the Pacific Northwest that is, it's a city and you have this vibrant, very interesting culture, and there's some counterculture things that are going on, and some of it's kind of like, but it's also very cutting edge, and it's very like on the cusp, like it's very much like, it's sort of like almost like a Brooklyn of the West Coast sort of vibe. Like, again, obviously like an extreme characterization that's not even 100% accurate, but there's probably some things that you're like, that's pretty dead on, or that's a little bit of exaggeration, but that's pretty, like, same way with Philly. Philly's, you know, totally. Always Sunny Philadelphia. There's been, I feel like that's kind of the interesting thing about the city I'm in and also the city you're in. I feel like really in the last like 10, 15 years, there've been a giant cultural focal point or emphasis put on our cities that weren't on our cities when we were growing up. Whereas if you would have said Philadelphia when I was in high school, I would have been like, what? Like, I don't know anything about that. Same way with Portland. Whereas now I think there's sort of an air and aura out there that generally is known. But I think, I mean, I've been out to Portland. I absolutely love it. I think I fell in love with the city. I think the Pacific Northwest, if no one's been out there, it's magical. Like, it really is. Like, it's so much prettier, I think, per capita than any other place in the country, or up there with, you know, the Rockies and some of those things. And I think the funny thing is what I noticed when me and my wife did our honeymoon was going through the Pacific Northwest. We did a bunch of like small cities and went up to, did some time in Portland and Vancouver and Seattle and small towns all around there. And what I think so interesting is like the in Pennsylvania, we would have one waterfall and it would be like the biggest deal ever, like around Philadelphia. You guys have this like between mountains and waterfalls. And there's so much stuff. It's like, it's crazy just how many beautiful things are there. And it's just like, it doesn't even faze you guys because there's so much out there.
People who grow up here, I mean, I feel like most people know it's beautiful and they definitely like appreciate the nature if they are, you know, outdoors people, but people growing up here don't get how beautiful it is, because when I say I'm from Oklahoma, and it's no indictment once again, like I do find the things about Oklahoma ironically or unironically beautiful. Like I do think the flat landscape can be really beautiful and like it kind of looks like a Western painting or something, but I'm always like, they're like, oh, Oklahoma, I bet that's beautiful. I'm like, I guess. I mean, we're in the Northwest. This is beautiful.
Yeah, but this is crazy. Like, these trees are crazy. Like, I freak out about the trees out there. The trees are, like, 100%. Unreal. You're like, this tree is, like, the biggest, what the F is this thing? And there's just thousands of them. And they're the 100%. Biggest trees you've ever seen in your life. It's crazy.
100%. I have, you know, a lot of friends here who are also from, you know, the area we're from, Texas, Louisiana, wherever. And we're always like, I feel like I could live here forever. And I still won't be amazed at, like, seeing a pine tree. It blows my mind. But... yeah, anyway, the change basically just happened from, I think I just kind of grew into my own skin, like, in my, like, kind of early mid-20s, and started figuring out just kind of things I was really into when I was younger, and kind of getting back in touch with, like, I think that's kind of who I am. I think the high school, college years, I was kind of doing what everyone else was doing, which is fine. But I think just around, like, 22, 23, I just kind of decided, I don't think this is for me, and I want to try a different kind of life and world and kind of expose myself to different people. And then I moved out here, and I think, honestly, the worst city to move to if you want to go through rapid change, because everyone's like, oh, he just went to Portland. But I think it would have happened anywhere, but, you know, I just moved here. I was far away from family and friends. I kind of just got a chance to figure out, like, what do I like? What am I into?
It's true, though. If you would have moved to Cleveland, I don't necessarily know if people would be like, oh, man, Cleveland got him. He started bleaching his hair. That's what happened. It's like,
yeah,
if you gain, like, 40 pounds or something like that, and you get a big beard, and you're like, I'm a big Browns fan now. Like, well, now what do I have? Exactly.
Yeah. No, we're all, like, a product of our environment in some way. But I think Portland was, like, I think it made sense that I moved to Portland, like, retrospectively. I think just every, like, step made sense. But, yeah, been here 5 years. I love it. I got a tech job when I worked there. It helped me just kind of, like, survive financially.
For Square, by the way. No, just yeah. Not just any company, for Square.
Yeah, big time company.
And that was cool. It just, like, wasn't for me. It helped me save money, which was great. Because, you know, that industry pays people too much.
Were you with them? Did they IPO? Did they get acquired? Were you with them at that point?
They were already public at the time.
Okay, so that nice, awesome,
yes.
You know, that sale.
A little bit. Yeah, I got you.
Which was great, being that age, just to, like, save. But I was not, like, definitely liked it for that reason. But about 2 years in, I was like, I hate this just as much. This just isn't for me.
Well, it's a corporate grind. I mean, you were part of the system. So because right now you're doing more of what you're doing, more creative, kind of more entrepreneurial sort of things right now. Aren't you kind of more of that?
Yeah. So yeah, I quit it. And then I worked in food service for a year while I was just, like, figuring out, okay, like, what do I want to do next? I'm really into fashion. I'm really into two random things, but I'm really into fashion, and I'm really into, like, public work, like urban design and like city work. So I was like, which route do I want to go? I basically befriended a couple of people that worked kind of in the fashion realm and did, like, movie styling, because there's a little bit of a movie industry here because it's cheap to film and it's a good Pacific Northwest backdrop.
It's on the West Coast, so it makes sense. They just pop up from LA or whatever. Yeah, it makes sense.
Exactly. So I got a job at a retailer here it's a boutique that has, like, it's pretty reputable. It's a small boutique, but it carries, like, designer stuff, and a lot of celebrities randomly stop through Portland. Portland's a place that has random, like, more money than I think people realize because of Nike.
Yeah,
and
I believe that. I completely believe that. Yeah.
Once again, for better or for worse, maybe for worse. But it's, so it's this cool boutique, though, that's, you know, it's just, like, this interesting thing where you kind of feel like you're not in Portland for a sec. And Portland has a lot of shopping, too, because there's no sales tax. So,
one of the Nomad, by the way, since I'm in sales and use tax automation, one of the Nomad state guys, that's what they call it. It's a Nomad state. No sales tax there.
There you go, Nudies. Tax advice, first of all. So yeah, I've been working at this retailer. It's cool. It's a good job, and it definitely working at this specific place. You get exposed to like people who work in the styling world and like film and that's entertainment. Awesome. So I've gotten some gigs here and there that have like helped me float through, and I grinded for the last like year and a half working like feels like every day of the week. Got some like personal styling work, but like styling is the main thing. I've done like a wee bit of modeling and then just working a lot of retail. I don't know how sustainable it'll be. We'll see what I'm 29, so I feel like I've got about one more career hop in me. So we'll see how it's going.
You got a few more, dude. You're fine. You're completely.
Yeah, you have no kids. You have no work. You're fine.
You know what's crazy, dude? I was thinking about this, Will. Like, I did have a moment where it was like 10 o'clock. It was funny. I was telling Jay before you jumped on here, because he was like, hey, man, are you cool doing it this late? And I'm like, well, I'm always like online or podcasting this late. Because it needed to be duties a little behind the curtain. We jumped on here at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is 7 o'clock for Mr. Right, 7 o'clock for Mr. J here. But I'm always up late anyway. But I had this realization where I'm like, you can't even comprehend, like, once you've had a child, and again, I only got one at this point, like, you can't comprehend like what, how much, like you had no obligation. Like it was cool, but you don't feel that way. Like, so I like the thing is, Jay, I'm not telling you like you have to feel this way. Cause like, that's a thing too, that you don't get when you're not there. Like you could have told me this and I'd be like, yeah, right. It's such a weird thing. You only get it like after the fact, like so many things in life, right? Like only anything in life only happens after the fact, where you're like, oh, I should have done that, or I didn't realize what I was in at the time. So that's one of those rare. So what I'd say is sometimes there is weird moments where you like can be in it and be like, oh yeah, like I actually do have that freedom. And this is, yeah, you're fine, dude. You can do whatever you want. You have so much freedom that you don't even, freedom you don't even realize.
It's true. I think about it, not to make you both feel terrible, but I'll have moments. Actually, today, let's talk about it today. I had, honestly, let's real duty moment. I, horrible, horrible day today. Had bank fraud today.
No, no!
Like, people took money out of your account?
Yes. I was super proactive about it. Saw, like, a super suspect charge. Froze my account.
I'm curious. Like, don't you have to say
what charge, at least? What was it? What did they charge it to?
A lot of times it's groceries. Like, groceries
from a place. It was a bank withdrawal. So someone had to, and it was in the Portland metro area, in a suburb of Portland. So someone got my bank info. I know. So I was fast on it though. Like, got my account froze, have an appointment tomorrow at the bank, gonna open a new account. Like, I took all the steps. I also like called the bank who did the transaction and like requested they like, you know, do all the info and like start a fraud case. So I've got all the things going, but it's terrifying, right? Because it's basically like identity.
Yeah, of course.
So I was stressing today, and yeah, no. I had this moment though, not to make you both feel terrible, but there was a moment where I was like, you know, this bites really hard. I hate this and I'm really stressed out, but at least I don't have kids where you can stub your toe. If you have a kid, you can't curse or yet like you, everything you do.
Well, and well, you let can't, me, you in this family, yeah. Let me in tell you.
But everything you do,
yeah,
you're like taking care of somebody else too, right?
Our dishwasher broke and I have to fix that. And I'm telling you, you're exactly right. Because when anything breaks,
you have to fix that.
You have to fix it.
What are you going to do? How do you fix it? Like, I would just like bang on it. I would just Fonzie it.
Let me tell you
a bunch of times. Like, hey, is it working?
ever since I've become a dad and a person who doesn't want to spend money on this stuff, YouTube has become my friend.
Well,
and
that's a secondary thing, because trust me, I became a dad, and I'm going to F that up. Somehow, I would, like, make it explode. I would try to do something, and then it would, like, start smoking and be like, that's not what it's supposed to do, and then just catch on fire. So...
Dude, I'm telling you, you're 100% correct. Like, when something goes wrong, then you have a kid in the background like, dad. I mean, yeah, there's a point where you're just like, I got too many responsibilities.
Every time I see, like, parents in the wild and, like, something happens and they got a kid that's making it even more stressful, I'm like...
Here's a perfect example of this, like, I think. Like, it happened earlier today. So... we're right now playing hot potato with my son as it relates to childcare, because our normal, I would say nanny, or not nanny, but woman who watches Trey, which is his aunt Janice, who's a listener. Hi, Jan. She's in Italy right now. Italy, probably eating lots of prosciutto. Yeah. For like 2 weeks. So we had to, you know, kind of figure out who's going to hang out with a 2-year-old. And tomorrow, there is an aunt who literally is going to swing by. Like, we have cousins who live across the street, and she's swinging by to pick up her grandchild, and she's going to pick up my son. But she didn't have an extra car seat. So now the logic here would be, just when she parks the car, just install the car seat when that happens. But any parent knows the idea, first of all, car seats are to install half the time. And then secondly, like, you don't know, but you'll know at some point. And then secondly, the dread that I had in my head of, like, having to, like, sit there and people wait on me to install the car seat, and my son, like, running around it. So I literally went out of my way, like, 30 minutes to drive to this woman's house, install the car seat today, so that she's going to literally be feet away from my house. But in my head, I knew that I could not handle the chaos directly in front of me, because it would be like the spotlight's on me as I'm trying to install this thing. So, like, those are the sorts of things that, like, decision making that you have to start doing when you have a child, because you're like, I can't handle this and also try to keep this 2-year-old alive, or it's going to stress me out so much. So you just find things. So, like, things like that are a perfect example where just, like, you'll throw 2 hours away to do that in order to not deal with that stress.
The way I would have breakdown daily. I don't know how you guys do it.
See, you know what? You think, but that's the other weird thing. There is also this. You do have them still as an adult. People don't tell you that when you have them. But like, it's not... I would also say that what I didn't understand, and it happened, again, it only happens, I think, as a dad, once you, like, meet the baby. Like, for me, at least. I had to meet the baby before I was like, oh, okay. Like, it was really weird. Like, I met the baby, and then you're just like, okay. Like, all the crappy stuff. Like, it's really strange. Like... everything that seemed like a big deal before, you're just kind of like, like, it just, it's really bizarre. And it just happens instantly. Like, it's a bizarre, it's the strangest thing in the world, because it doesn't logically make any sense. It's just like, you meet this little person, and it's like, it's almost like you guys have, like, a little deal that you make, and you're like, shake the little baby's hand, and you're like, all right, well, it's broker deal. This is what it is for 18 years. You know, it's worth it. It's all worth it. It's all cool. But
there are times where Jordan, my wife, will, like, when our boys are doing something ornery, she says, she'll say, like, there's a reason why God made these things so adorable. Like, if they weren't adorable, then, like, parenting would be a lot more stressful. But, like, my kids are just so damn cute. I it's like,
true. Oh, it's true.
You make it all right. So I got a question here for brothers. So, like, Jay, you have this older brother. Like, what was your... were you, like, this guy, like, did you always look up to Will? Were you like, this guy's a weirdo? Did you have like different phases? Like, what was your impression, or in what lens did you see your brother? Like, I guess from like, I guess whenever you were old enough to kind of like be able to like form an opinion of him, maybe not like when you were a child, but like kind of middle school, high school, college. Well, what did you think of him?
You know, Will used to pen me down and make me recite the names of the local weathermen. And if I didn't get them,
yeah, that's right. That's absolutely true.
I'd get beat up, you know? So
I'd be like,
it was traumatic. The whole thing was traumatic.
Travis Lazalier.
To this day, I still know every weatherman in the Tulsa metro area from 2000 to 2004.
Is that true? Is that true, Will? Did you actually do that?
I don't know why I did it either. I'm just like,
that's insane. That's like, the craziest thing I've ever heard. Dude, I've ever heard.
Hey, as a 5-year-old boy, I was locked in on the Weather Channel. Will, because our age gap was so large that there was never really like, we definitely would get in fights where I'd like annoy the hell out of Will, and then, you know, he'd get like frustrated every now and again, but more times than not, I think because our age gap was so big, it was always more of like, I was definitely a little brother. Like, I feel like the biggest influence Will had on me was music. I feel like because I would ride in the car with him on the way to school or wherever, and he, you know, back then, CDs, Will was always burning CDs. I was exposed to a ton of music that my peers weren't, you know, hearing, because my brother was in high school and also into music also. So I feel like I looked up to Will a lot, but it was more on this like, almost like not like definitely older brother, but it would operate in a way as if you had an older cousin where it's like, they're so much older that they're into like things that you would never have been exposed to otherwise. So I feel like I looked up to Will quite a bit. Will and I's relationship was, I was a tiny wee lad. Will, do you remember the one time you punched the hole in my door?
Yes. What did you do? You did something.
I think I kept calling you Kyle for like days on end.
No, I wouldn't have gotten mad about that. That annoyed me, but I wouldn't have gotten mad about you calling me Kyle. I think you took something, or I think you kept going to my room and took
something. Why Kyle?
I just always call. I had this phase where I would just call him like different names.
Hey, Kyle.
So that was what I did.
I'm not Kyle. I'm Will.
No, I don't. I think you like took something or kept going to my room or something.
Yeah, but, I think that's what it was.
But I think you're right, Jay, because mom and dad would always say things like, you know, he looks up to you, like be a friend, like go, why don't you go hang out together? I'm like, I'm, you know, 15 and he's like 6, you know, it's like,
it was just never. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like we hit that phase when I was in college and you were in Milwaukee and I would come visit you. I feel like that's where it was more like,
you know, like you're a little more relatable.
We think, yeah, we were at the age where we could be like friends.
Oh, speaking of that.
What?
Jay, we have to talk about the time when you came to visit me in Milwaukee and we got hit on.
Oh, my God.
Jay, I don't know if I've ever told you this.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. It's a great
story. So Jordan was pregnant at the time with Archie, right? It's winter in Wisconsin, and Jay came out, I don't know, just to visit.
Yeah.
And we all went out to eat, and Jordan was like, I told Jordan, I said, hey, Jay and I are just going to stay out and have you be bar hop and whatever. She said, great, I'm going to go home. So we Ubered around to a bunch of bars, and at one point we decided to go to this brand new like bar area where the Milwaukee Bucks play, right? So Jay and I go over there, and outside this bar, there's cornhole. And Jay and I are playing cornhole, and all of a sudden, these two girls come out of the arena, and they're all, like, bougie, like, they were at a concert, like some country concert, right? So they were making it very obvious that they were interested, because...
hey, you know, what's going on?
Can we play with you? Like, they wanted to play cornhole. And one girl wanted to be on one side with Jay, the other was on side with me. And, like, it was awkward at this point because obviously I'm married. Jay is dating someone at the time. And we're like trying to be nice because we're from Oklahoma. That's kind of our MO. And so, Jay, what do you recall of this part so far? Well,
I just remember the person that was next to me was like asking what we were up to. And I was like just visiting my brother. Like, we're just trying to catch up. Like, I'm flying in from Oklahoma and don't get to see him very often. And it just like she kept like asking, like, what are you guys up to later? I was like, we're catching up because I'm visiting my brother. And it was just like the cycle of like, just, it was like this continual, like trying to see what the next move of the night was. And it was like, you came up to us.
So a key detail of this is we're playing cornhole. And as we're playing, the girl who was on my end, she was telling me like, yeah, we drove up from Chicago. We were really excited to see this guy, and we just had to leave. And because the guy in front of us kept farting, and it was just so smelly, it was so awful. He just kept farting.
What?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
I mean, we were out in front of the arena, and there was nobody walking out. It was just them. So that we knew, like, they had left early from this concert because the concert was still going on while we were there. So we're playing cornhole, and all of a sudden, Jay and I could kind of sense with each other, like, this is starting to get uncomfortable to the point where, like, their expectations are that we're going to, like, continue this night together. Because they got some beers, we got beers, we're playing. It was starting to get weird. So all of a sudden, I think it might have been Jay who goes, hey, you know what? We're actually going to head out, but it was nice meeting you guys. Like, he just pulled the plug on it real fast. And I just go, the very last thing I said to them was, sorry you guys got farted on.
I do remember that.
Like, it did not plan out how they expected at all.
Man, I do remember that.
That's the theme of this show. This episode has just been, there's been so much flatulent talk and farting from all sides of things.
That's what you get with the
skag. That's what you get when you're in the skag sandwich, baby. That's what I'm saying.
That's what you get, baby. The skag sandwich. Farts, bro. Just farts.
Awesome.
Well, I love it, man. I think it's great. I think it's awesome that you guys have been able to, you know, I don't know. I never had a brother, so I was just kind of envied. I always envy people with brothers because I just think it's such a neat sort of relationship that you can have. And so that's really neat that I think you've gotten to have those moments later on in life. And
what's crazy to think about, I think about this all the time, and I never really say this to you, but like Emily and I had a whole like era where it was just the two of us. We lived in a different house. We did homeschooling together. We did vacations together. Like, I have tons of memories with Jay not in the picture. It's weird.
There's a whole, you know, it's like the, we can call it the time before, there's like after Jay and before Jay. You know, it's AJ and BJ. Let's not call it BJ.
Let's not say that. We'll workshop that. We'll workshop that. Find a different acronym to use than AJ and BJ. Yeah,
let's do that.
There you go. All right, duties. Well, this was awesome, Jay. Thank you so much for coming on here. I love this because, like, again, I feel like I spent so much time at your guys' household, the Skag's household. I feel like, I was like a second cousin, brother, you know, what have you. Got to watch you grow up. So it's awesome to get you on here. And yeah, we'll get you on again to do a Seventh Heaven episode probably in the next month or two. Because we need work to do for that. But, dude, keeping it weird out there in the Pacific Northwest. All right, duties. Like, subscribe, share, save. Let's keep this thing going. Night, duties.
Good night, duties. Thanks for coming, Jay.
Night, duties. Thanks, y'all. It's a pleasure. Yep.